was not into temptation. And of course, the full version is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we're going to look at that and hopefully have a talk about what temptation means in our lives and how to avoid it. Because it's no good praying to God, lead me not into temptation, if we've been running into it ourselves. That's dishonest. So what is temptation? Well, I looked in a dictionary, and it said the desire to have or to do something, especially something that's wrong. The desire to have or to do something, especially something wrong. And as I was preparing this week, I've been reading another book in the Bible that we call the Gospel of Matthew, and I stumbled across this word, this verse, that meant I had to completely replan my sermon. Yeah, it's funny. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18 verse 7 said, Woe to those whom temptation comes from. Temptations to sin are necessary, but woe to those whom they come by. And I thought, right, I've forgotten that verse, it's in the Gospels. How am I going to plan this sermon? And I'm going to try and explain what I think that's about later on. So we talk about temptation, and it's necessary, but where does it come from? In Christian teaching, you'll hear the phrase, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you go to baptism services, people get asked that, do you renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil? Now these are what we call sometimes the unholy trinity. Now when we say the world, we don't mean literally planet Earth. We mean the system of the world. Because God's system is different to the system that the world has. Whether it's money, whether it's sex, whether it's power, government, whatever, the system of the world is different. And you'll find this in the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. And John says this, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's what the world means. Yeah? So like wanting money, loads of it, so much that you can't even spend. Men and women will, you know, trample on each other. They might have multi-million pounds in the bank, but they want to be a billionaire. Yeah. You know? We want more. Society today says, have more. You deserve it. You're worth it. You know, you deserve the best. And it, advertisement, all of it, just all in our faces. And these things are gifts of God. Clothing, money, work, all that. But the world, as in the system of the world, abuses those good things that God has given us. So that's the world. The second one, the flesh, you can read about in what Paul wrote in the letter to the Galatians, a church in what we now call Turkey. And he said, the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the spirit. And the desires of the spirit are against the desires of the flesh. They are opposed to each other. Now again, the flesh doesn't mean our bodies, you know. It means our human nature. The reason the world is corrupt is not because of bad education systems or because we've not got the right positive mental attitude. It's because human beings are corrupted by sin, by doing wrong. Even the good things we do are done because, well, my wife asked me to do it, or my mum asked me to do it, or, well, if I don't do my job well, the boss will tell me off. You know, we don't do the right thing a lot of the time. We don't do it because we should, and we want to please and love people. You know, because God says, love your neighbour as you love yourself. So when we do the right thing, we should do it out of love and respect. I don't do that all the time. Yeah? Amen. And that's what the flesh is. Again, it's our fallen human nature. And the third one, the devil, is the person in the Bible that was close to God, but became proud and jealous, and God expelled him, and now he tempts the human race. And you can read about that in the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Peter writes to a group of Christians, he says, be sober-minded, so be serious, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brothers and sisters around the world. So that's a challenging but a comforting verse. Whatever temptation you have, my dear hearer, my dear friend, whatever it is, you're not alone. You're not alone. All of us are corrupted, all of us are bad, but by the grace of God, what we call common grace, no human being is as bad as they could be.
Yeah.
Praise God. So whatever you're going through, whatever sin you're struggling with, whether it's a bad temper, not being able to forgive anyone, whether it's money, problems, debt, drugs, porn, anything, you're not on your own. There's an army of people around the world called Christians that are struggling with exactly the same thing you are. And God's got a grace. And God wants to shower that grace to love you and cherish you just as you are today. And that's why he's brought you here. But you see, today we try our best. If we don't have it all together. Yeah? So we're all in the same boat. So that's a clever little definition of temptation from the dictionary. That's where temptations come from. And in my reading, people sometimes ask this question, and I did try and read up on it, but I never found it convincing. I didn't find any explanation terribly convincing. People might come to me and say, oh, I'm tempted with this. It just popped into my head. Is it the devil or is it me? Well, I don't know. It could be both. It could be, you know, in a weak moment. But that's not so much the point. Yeah, where it comes from is not the point. It's what are we going to do about it? And why does Jesus tell us to pray, lead us not into temptation? Why does he tell us that? Especially when he says later on, it's necessary that you're tempted. Well, I was stuffed, as they say. I was like, oh, I have to go and replan everything now. But we have to remember one thing about temptation. The biggest comfort of all when we're tempted is that Jesus Christ himself was tempted. In Luke's Gospel, if you looked at last year, because we've been in Luke's Gospel that long, which is brilliant, we looked at Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this, after Jesus is baptized, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
Being tempted by the devil. Now Jesus couldn't be tempted in his flesh because he wasn't fallen, he was perfect.
Yeah.
But living in a world like this, he was totally human, and he experienced the same things that we experience, but he didn't sin. But look who led him into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him. The point is this. There are not two big cosmic forces, one called God and one called the devil, fighting against each other to see who's going to win. Like a cosmic boxing match or a cage fight, whichever thing you want to use. They're not two equal forces. God, we'd say, God is sovereign. God is over everything. And nothing happens unless he allows it or decrees it. So when you're tempted, and this is another great comfort, when you're tempted, God always provides a way out. God never, that sometimes misquoted verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you can bear. So whenever you're tempted, and whenever I'm tempted, however bad things get, he's still given us the power to say no. So when we do sin, we can't ever say, it wasn't my fault. Right? Because God wouldn't let you be tempted to the place where you could never say no. So God sent Jesus into the wilderness. Now God didn't tempt Jesus. This is a very important thing, because James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So even though God's over things, and God allowed the temptation of Jesus by the devil, it wasn't God himself that was tempting Jesus, it was God allowing it to happen. And indeed, even Satan in the Bible, if you read the book of Job, he says, I'll do this to Job, and he'll disobey you. And God says, okay, you can make an hell, but you can't do this. You can't kill him. Right? And Satan doesn't kill him. Satan obeys God. So even God is over everything. God is over everything. So the ultimate, one reason why temptations happen, I think, is to test us. The old English way of tempt was test. God allows it to test us. Because when you become a Christian, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we take Jesus as our Saviour, we have a new heart. And we love things that we didn't love before. And so God then says, right, how much do you love me? Do you love me more than this sin? You know, it says in 1 John, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Well, how much do you really want to get close to God? How much do you really love God? You know? The world's saying of it is, actions speak louder than words. 1 John says, if whoever says, I know him, but doesn't obey him, is a liar. You know, it's false. It's just words. The Christian life is a life of words, of profession, for sure, but it's a life of obedience. Now, it doesn't mean we obey perfectly. It doesn't mean we don't every day have to go back to God and say, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean we don't have to go back to our neighbour, our friend, our spouse, our partner, our kids, and say, I'm sorry. But that's the Christian life. It's a life of repentance and obedience to God. And God, in the book, just go back to James' first chapter of his book, God gives a blessing. So God tempts us in order to bless us in one sense. He says, blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So when you're tempted, God's allowing it. And when you overcome, when you say no to temptation, God is giving you the assurance that you're his, that you love him, that he's received you as his child, and that his spirit is living in your heart, and you have the assurance that you have a crown of life stored up here by God's grace. That's why God allows it. There's probably some other reasons, but that was the reason that came across to me. It's a test. And ultimately, if we're going to follow Christ, he said no to temptation. So what makes us think that we get off the hook. If God didn't spare his own son, then we have to go that way too. That's what Christian means. It means the for Christ.
Yeah.
And the like Christ. So, just summing up this little part of the talk, God is our sovereign. So he's our ruler, he's over all our situations. Which is a little gentle rebuke to me, because I was stressed about today, so here's my confession to you. But God was over it all. And he blessed us today.
Amen.
So nothing happens in this life without God's say so. God is our strength, we talked about that. And even when in temptation we feel an onslaught of the devil, we feel an onslaught of the world, we feel the onslaught of our flesh, we can say, "You, O Lord, are my strength and my song. The joy of the Lord is my strength." Amen. So we can say that I belong to Christ. That's it, yeah. That's the song, yeah. And God is our delight. There's a beautiful prayer in the Bible called Psalm 51. It's in the book of Psalms in the Bible. And David prayed it after he'd had an affair and murdered the woman's husband. So even men and women in the Bible, holy people, other than Jesus, did some terrible, terrible things. And there was one thing he prayed for. Verse 12, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Because when that joy fades, when we take our eyes off Christ, that's when sin starts to look attractive. That's when we start to think, "Oh, this Christianity life, but that's when it happens, when we take our eyes off Christ. We do things and the flesh draws it back. You know? How many people, I can name any number of times, I've maybe missed my morning prayers or haven't been walking as close to God, and I think, "Good grief, I wouldn't have said that thing only a few days ago." Yeah? I remember Eric and Jackie, they told me a story. They went on a retreat somewhere, and for a week they were doing worship and Christian songs, and they went to the supermarket and they heard someone swear. Ooh, dreadful, you know. But that's what you do when you get close to God. So indeed, in a funny sort of way, when we delight in God, we'll probably feel temptation more. So if you're struggling with temptation, be encouraged. So that's why we pray this prayer. Because it's necessary, because God's testing us, and God's wanting to reveal himself to us as our sovereign, our strength, and our delight. So what are we to pray? Well, I looked at some very godly men who wrote little books for this one. Because I think they say it better than I would. I went to some, this was one that was written in Westminster in London, a confession, and the writer said, "When we say, 'Deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil,' we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin, or support and deliver us when we're tempted to sin." Right. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Not much more needs to be said, because I think that says it. That's spot on. Yeah?
It's like I've been asking for patience lately and help with my anger. So God's actively put me in situations where it's gonna test my patience. But at the same time, it's like I've come away from my girlfriend because I want peace. Well, how am I ever
going to
exercise patience unless I'm in a situation?
That's it. That was one book I was reading, actually. Sorry for those on the podcast. Someone just gave a little testimony. He's been praying for patience And so he's found himself in situations where he had to exercise patience. Because that's the only way you develop that character. Yeah? Usually, people might say, oh, I'm usually so patient. But yeah, that's because we're not put in those situations. So we pray, as we've said, we pray that God doesn't tempt, lead us to be tempted or supports us. So it's a prayer of what we say, dependency. We say, God, if you don't get me through it, I'll fall. Because I'm weak and you're strong. Yeah? It's a prayer of humility and a prayer of what we call submission. We're saying, you help me, God, please. I'm desperate. I don't want to fall. I love you. But please get me out of this and get me through it.
Yeah.
And it's a prayer of, remember, it's a prayer of love. It's lead us, not into temptation. Not lead me. So you're praying for all your brothers and sisters, all your friends, all your family, because, you know, Jesus said, love your neighbour as you love yourself.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer. I mean, Jesus is so amazing. You know, I've read the Sermon on the Mount this past week, and I think, wow, Jesus practiced what he preached. But doing these series of sermons, I don't just realise that Jesus practiced what he preached. That condemns us enough.
Yeah.
But he practiced what he prayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, wow, he's amazing. So he genuinely, it's a prayer of love, and Jesus loved us that much that he wanted us to be sons of God and daughters of God, because he is. So that's it. So that's the glory to God, yeah. So just for the last few minutes, how does all this affect how we live? Because as I've just sort of pointed out, how we pray should affect how we live. If it doesn't, we're not praying honestly. The first thing to do, my friend, all of us are tempted. Christian and non-Christian, holy saint and backslidden saint, we're all tempted. The first thing to do to win against temptation is today, just as you are, to give your life to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Just as you are.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
What's the question you say?
Anything that God says is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus says the two commands are love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. So if we think of Jesus, that's a summary of the Ten Commandments. So if we haven't put God first in our life, if we haven't honoured his worship, if we've used his name as a swear word, if we haven't honoured his day, that's the Lord's day today, if we've been disrespectful to our parents, that's a sin. If we've been angry, because Jesus said anger is murder, if we've stolen, if we've lied, if we've been immoral with sex,
adultery,
and if we've desired sin, that's a sin against God. So if we've broke any of those commands, we've sinned, and God must punish sin. Yeah, just one more. Yeah. And you can talk to me afterwards. Yeah.
If the dictionary has been changed four times a year,
in the Bible, the English language does change, you're absolutely right. But in the Bible, that's what sin means. And that's what we use. Yeah? I'll talk to you later. Thank you. So, come to Jesus Christ. If you just have to go through the Ten Commandments, quite simply. If you've broken, if you're guilty of you are guilty of them. if you break one, you've broke them all.
And you need
a Saviour to save you by grace. So come to Jesus Christ this very day and receive forgiveness, receive a clean slate, receive new life, receive the Holy Spirit in your heart so that, the law of God does look terrifying, But you want to obey God because you're His child. That's the work of God in us. So to war with sin, yeah, to war with it. If you're in any of those things that we just talked about, for the love of your own soul, stop it. If you need help, talk to one of us and walk in what the Bible calls the fear of God. Reverence God in your life. Do nothing that He wouldn't approve of. Go nowhere that He wouldn't approve of.
Yeah,
don't talk to people in a way that you wouldn't talk to them if Jesus Christ was stood next to you.
Yeah.
And how do you know? So get His book, the Bible, and ask Him to help you. Learn what God loves and what God hates.
Yeah.
And say, I will walk in the strength that God gives me to obey Him. The final point, don't cause others to sin. Don't pray, lead us not into temptation. If you're either going to go into it yourself or cause somebody else to. But do pray it and then repent of doing it. If your mate has a problem, like if they are addicted to chocolate, don't put chocolate biscuits in front of them. And by addicted, I mean addicted. Yeah. If your mate can't drink beer, you might be free to drink beer, and it's a gift. But if your mate really has a problem with it, don't go to the pub. Have a cup of tea. Walk in love towards each other. And SBC, we're all messed up. So if someone comes to you with a problem, show them love, show them compassion, because that's what Jesus would do. So why do we pray, lead us not into temptation? Ultimately, because we love people. And we love God. So what we're going to do now, we don't normally do this at SBC, but I think it would be lovely to do. We're going to say, in whatever way you know it, whatever language you want to say it in, the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
Because this is the last, this is it now, we're moving on in Luke's Gospel.
Yeah.
So you can all just bow your heads, or however you feel, and I'll lead and I'll say it in its traditional form. So Jesus taught us to pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would pray for each other, that we would honor you in our lives, we'd live aware of your presence all the time, and that we'd remember that you are God who's given us commands. May we realize that you are our sovereign, that you are our strength, and that you are our delight. And may we fix our eyes on Jesus and love each other, because you love us and gave yourself for us. God bless.
Amen.